We're going to get right into God's Word. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We love God's Word here, and we want you to follow along with us as we are going through the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 6, this morning. Revelation chapter 6. We've opened our Bibles. What do we do now? Open our hearts. It's easy to be sitting in the church with an open Bible and a closed heart. We need to leave all the junk outside the doors and open our Bibles and open our hearts. And even as we've seen in the Revelation a number of times, we need to open our ears as well. We need to have our spiritual ears on this morning, don't we? Otherwise, it'll be kind of eerie. So, Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for everybody here. Thank you that you are God and there's none beside you. And thank you for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. We have so much to be thankful for every moment of every day. And so this morning with open Bibles and open hearts, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. Teach us, lead us, guide us in all truth. Because it's the truth, it sets us free. Thank you that you're the God of all comfort. Give us peace, give us joy. Even in the midst of a world that's filled with turmoil and fear, we thank you that you give us peace that surpasses all understanding. And so this morning, as the Good Shepherd, we pray that you would feed your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're visiting, welcome. And we're delighted to have you with us. We love God's Word here. We go through God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precept. We didn't just jump into the book of Revelation when the pandemic broke out or when the war broke out in the Ukraine. We've gone through God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we just happen to be in a section that is prophetic that I really believe ties in with where we are today. And I promised you, and I'm going to still uphold that promise, that I refuse to sensationalize God's Word or to add things to it because it speaks for itself. And we're going to see some very timely things going on in Revelation chapter 6 this morning that kind of tie in with where we are in our world today. And so last Sunday in chapters 4 and 5, John, having looked up, saw a door open in heaven. There is a door in heaven, and it's open right now. But as we know from Scripture, I shared this last week, that door is going to close one day. And I think it's very, very soon. The Bible tells us in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John that Jesus is that door. He said, I am the door. He is the only way into heaven. And as we know, there is going to come a time when the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, those of us who are alive be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and that door is going to be shut. And last week I gave you many instances that Scripture talks about that door being shut. In the time of Noah, one door into the ark. Noah preached for 120 years. Only 10 people went in. Doesn't that break your heart? One door, and the Lord shut the door. We also read about the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. 5 had oil in their lamps, speaking of the person of the Holy Spirit. And when the shout went out, they went into the house of the Lord for the wedding supper of the Lamb, and the door was shut. There were 5 others that were left outside because they weren't born again. They didn't have the person of the Holy Spirit. And so again, we're reminded, we're close, folks. And I have never just sensed an urgency in my heart to prepare for the return of Jesus Christ. We know that when Israel became a nation in 1948, that Scripture tells us that generation will see the return of the Lord. I just happened to be born in 49. So I'm part of that generation. I'm still here, but we're close. I often tell you, don't buy green bananas. You might not see them get ripe. Closer than ever before. And so, as I usually do, I'm going to give an invitation at the end of the service so that you can be part of those that are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Last week we saw the door open in heaven and a voice of the Lord called to John, come up here. I want to hear those three words as well, don't you? Come up here. Yeah. He says, I'm going to show you things which must take place after this. And that's where we are in the third section of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is going to show us things that are going to take place. Future events. You know me, I usually read on a regular basis the Israeli news. And I've got a couple of things that I saw even this morning when I'm looking at this chapter going, wow, Lord, his timing is always absolutely perfect. And like I said, I'm not going to sensationalize things. I'm going to share with you what we have in Scripture and what I saw in the Israeli news this morning. So you're going to have to wait. But immediately John was caught up and he beheld the throne of God. What must that have been like? A scroll sealed with seven seals. He saw a strong angel that proclaimed with a loud voice, who is able to open the scroll and loose its seals? And there was no one there that was able. And John began to weep because he knew that those seals spoke of end things and the return of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the fulfillment of the end of the age. No one in heaven or earth or under the earth was able to open the seals. That is, until one of the elders said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seals. And there stood Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. And the Bible tells us, as we saw last week, it was the Lamb who had been slain. And there was Jesus in heaven, and there was still evidence that he had been slain for the sins of the world, for you and for me. I wonder if that'll be true when we get to see him face to face. I wonder if he'll still have the scars. The Root of David had prevailed, and he was the one who could open the scroll and loose its seals. And we're going to see that here this morning. There stood Jesus as a lamb that had been slain, and he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one who sat on the throne, which was his Father. And this morning in chapter 6, Jesus has the scroll in his hand with the seven seals. He's going to open six of them this morning in chapter 6. The seventh one will be opened in chapter 8, verse 1, when we get there. But God has given us a couple of things here this morning that have just, wow, encouraged my faith, shocked me. And again, just a reminder that we're in the third section of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the things which are to take place. I know there's some people that look at this section and go, man, it's nothing but judgment and conflict and death and all of these things. But you know what? Just before he shows us these things and opens the scrolls, what does he show us? He gives us a glimpse of heaven. God shows you and I a glimpse of heaven before he shows us that which is to come. One of the names for Jesus Christ is he is the deliverer. And when we as believers read this section of Scripture, we should thank God that he has delivered us from these things. We need to know what we're delivered from, honestly. Some people say, oh, I'm just delivered from California, Palm Desert, you know. No, he's delivered us from sin and from death, from hellfire, from eternal damnation. The list is almost endless of the things that he has delivered you and I from. And so when we as believers read this, read of the judgment that is to come, we should thank God that we won't be here. And that's what we're going to see here this morning. We should be able to thank God. Yes, for those things that are to come, but at the same time, this should stir our hearts for those that we know and love that don't know Jesus Christ yet. I guarantee you, every one of us in this room has a family member, a friend, loved one, a co-worker, whatever it may be, that doesn't know Jesus Christ yet. And folks, we're getting too close to the finish line to be playing church. The days of Christian Disneyland are over. We need to not only proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, but we need to live it. And just before the return of Jesus Christ, John tells us, or Paul tells us, that there's going to be a great falling away. And there's going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. There's going to be false teachers, all this stuff going on. We need to be ready. And just before Paul teaches on the rapture of the church, he speaks about the purity of the church. That we need to be sanctified and set apart unto God. We need to be pure right now. Quit playing games with sin. Get rid of that nobody's perfect attitude. Yes, there is one who is perfect, and that's Jesus Christ, and we're to be conformed into his image. Yeah, we're going to mess up, but you know what? We should strive to be pure and holy and live a righteous life before the Lord. Why? Because the world is watching you and watching me. And you've heard me say many times, preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. We need to live it out, and not just lip service, but life service. Do you sense kind of an urgency in my heart this morning? And so here in chapter 6, there's going to be three seven-part judgments that are going to come that will take place and that will bring about the end of human history. Seven seals we're going to see here this morning, chapter 6, as well as the first verse of chapter 8. Then we're going to see in chapters 8 and 9 the seven trumpets. Then we're going to see in chapter 16 the seven bowls. And so here this morning in chapter 6, we have the opening of the six of the seven seals, and the seventh seal, like I said, will be in the first verse of chapter 8. As each seal is opened, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is setting in motion events that will set forth the end of the age. Yeah, we're that close. Prior to the opening of the seals, we find that the church is not mentioned. Why? Because the harpazo has taken place, the rapture, the catching away of the saints. And the church will not be mentioned until we get to the 22nd chapter, verse 16, as the church, prior to God's judgment here on earth, has been caught up to meet the Lord in the air, raptured up into glory. This morning we were talking, kind of joking around, and someone said, hey, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while. And I said, I sure hope it's not because of the rapture. Just joking, you know me. I'd have a lot of explaining to do, folks, if I'm still here and the rapture takes place. But we laugh. But you know what's really sad? What breaks my heart? There's going to be churches that are going to be full after the trump of God sounds. There's going to be pastors preaching sermons the Sunday after the rapture of the church. I would not want to be that guy. That's why here we go through God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precept. We feed the sheep here, and it's up to you to take what God has for you this morning, and we need to wake up so that we can get caught up and raptured up to the wedding supper of the Lamb. What a glorious day that's going to be. Also, it's not by coincidence, but actually remarkable, that from verse 4 to the end of the chapter this morning, it lines up with the description of the end of the age given by Jesus Christ in Matthew 24. And I'm going to read that for you real quickly so that you can see that everything is in complete order that Jesus Christ said was going to take place. And again, it's not by coincidence. In verse 3 of chapter 24, I'll read it for you. You can turn there if you like. Now as Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, this is known as the Olivet Discourse, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Anybody interested? Jesus, first thing he says, take heed that no one deceives you. Folks, there's a lot of deception out there. Yes, we have the good news, but in some churches they have fake news. It amazes me today some of the things that are being taught from God's pulpit. This is God's pulpit. This is God's word, and it's to be proclaimed from God's pulpit in God's church. Because James 3:1 says, not many should teach because you're going to receive a stricter judgment. Take heed that no one deceives you. And what I love about having God's word in our laps, you can hold my feet to the fire, and I don't mind that. For many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. Here we go. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Going to see that right off the bat this morning. See that you're not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines. Hello, there's another seal. Pestilence, another seal. Earthquakes in various places. And all of these things are the beginning of sorrows. Birth pangs is the term. Contractions. Pestilence, what is that? It's not bugs. Pestilence is incurable disease. Hello. And the contractions are getting closer and closer. And these things that we're dealing with now in the world and in America are getting more and more intense. Every time you turn around, there's a new strain. So back to the sixth chapter of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not by coincidence that Jesus mentions these things, and we're going to see that they're right in order this morning. Chapter 24, we see war, famine, death, martyrdom. And then when we get, if you read to the towards the end of Matthew 24, verse 29, it talks about the sun and the moon darkened and the stars falling. We're going to talk about that today as well. And so chapter 6 opens with the first of four horses, all representing the judgment of God. As the first four seals are opened, four horses will appear, as people's sin and rebellion will be judged by holy God. And God is directing human history here, even using the enemy to accomplish his purpose. Four horses, white, fiery red, black, and pale, are all part of the unfolding judgment of God. So let's look at the first seal and the first horse in verses 1 and 2. I'll quit horsing around here. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. And so the first horse that we see here is a white horse. Many teachers have misrepresented this as being the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This, according to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 of the war, he has a bow, and that speaks of the Antichrist, and that speaks of the war with Magog and Gog, who is, gee, what a coincidence, Russia. Wow. Some assume it's Jesus Christ, but he is not going to lead these other three horses into coming upon the earth with all of these things that he brings. We're going to see later in chapter 19, verse 11, Christ is going to ride to victory on a white horse one day. I often, like Greg Laurie says, refer to it as Air Horse One. Christ is coming back on Air Horse One, folks. And guess what? We're coming back with him. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Wow. But all these horses are related to judgment. This rider on the white horse is Antichrist. And I got news for you. His spirit is alive and well here on earth right now. Look at all of the things that we're dealing with today. Antichrist spirit. And at this point in Revelation, this is the early stages of Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7-10 tells us that he comes on the scene after the rapture and the removal of the restrainer, the person of the Holy Spirit. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like here on earth without the restrainer. No restraints whatsoever for purity, holiness, whatever. The person of the Holy Spirit will be gone. I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. But like I said earlier, I'm thankful that I will never find out what that's like because of what Jesus Christ has done for me and what he's done for you. He's saved our souls. And again, 4:1, these are the things which must take place. Daniel 7:8, Daniel 7:20, Daniel 8 and 9, as well as 11:40 to 43, make it pretty clear that Antichrist will first conduct on the earth a period of sweeping and victorious warfare in the territories of the old Grecian Empire. Interesting. Syria is one of them. And guess what? Right now, Russia, Magog, is working with Syria, as well as China, out on the Mediterranean Sea, playing war games. Hello. Now, this is what I read in the newspaper here this morning, in the Israeli newspaper, that Prime Minister Bennett tried to meet with Putin, and Putin rejected it. He wants nothing to do with meeting with Israel. Not only that, check this out. The Ukraine has an embassy in Israel. And the Ukraine is asking Israel to join with them in fighting Russia. Wow. I get sheep bumps just thinking about it. I'm not a goose, I'm a sheep. Look what's going on. Is it by coincidence? No. I believe that things are coming into place, just as Scripture says. And like I said, I'm not into sensationalism. I'm not into adding things to the Scripture. But this is what I read in their newspaper. I would encourage you to read the Israeli newspaper on a daily basis. America's not included in prophecy, end times prophecy. But you've got to keep your eyes on Israel, what's going on in Israel. And I'll tell you what, you can get an education seeing what's going on over there right now. Amazing. It really is. And it's by no surprise that the Antichrist is Satan's imitation of Jesus Christ. Even Israel will be deceived by him, as this great deceiver will come as a political leader. It says he'll have a crown and will also solve the world's problems and be received as a great liberator. And where will that take place? In the third temple. And as I've mentioned over a number of weeks, Israel is getting ready right now to rebuild the third temple. It will take 1 year to rebuild the third temple. And I have been to Israel, and I've seen all the artifacts that are going into the third temple. I've seen the menorah. I've seen the showbread tables. I've seen the robes for the priest. And I've seen the priests that are going to wear them, and these guys are old. They don't have many days left, so how close are we? Man. And just as Jesus said in Matthew 24:5, there will be false Christs who will come in his name. So we see the white horse conquering and to conquer. The second seal, which he says, come and see, verses 3 and 4. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come and see. We're going to see that six times in this chapter. Come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Again, Antichrist's conquest, here we see, begin in peace, but soon he exchanges his empty bow for a sword. And by the way, in Ezekiel chapter 39, we see that bow. And so again, it points to who this is. It's the Antichrist. War. The color red, fiery red, is associated with war, terror, and death in Scripture. It's a picture of bloodshed. As the second seal is broken here, military warfare breaks out and peace is taken from the world. And just look around. It would not take much to remove peace from this earth with the superpowers that we have. And look at the fear already, just from a flu bug that we've seen over the past couple of years. As Jesus said, there would be wars and rumors of wars, didn't he, in Matthew 24. And guess what? We not only have wars going on, but we have rumors of wars right now. Warfare will result in a tremendous loss of life. It's coming. It really is. And the efforts of the United Nations and the other human efforts are going to fail. We can see that happening already. Verses 5 and 6. The third seal, scarcity on the earth. Verse 5, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. And so here we now see famine, just as Jesus said in Matthew 24. Look how close we are in America to a shortage of food. I mean, most of the markets you go into anymore, the shelves are empty. One pastor on the radio last week was telling Christians to go out and load up, empty the shelves in the markets. I have a hard time with that. I really do. That's greed. And we're to take care of our neighbors, and we're to take care of one another. But you know what? We are so close to famine in America. Sometimes we don't even realize it or recognize it because we're so spoiled. You know? And here's the aftermath of war, as it is seen, and there's going to be a great famine going on. This horse is black, and Scripture black is often connected with famine. Jeremiah 14, Lamentation 5:10. Famine and war go hand in hand. And look what's going on. Again, a lot of the areas in our lives as American citizens are hanging by a thread. Look at the oil. If that's cut off, we're in big trouble. Food, oil, all of these things that we see. It's like I got a little taste of it the other day. Even the dollar. Our dollar tomorrow could be worth nothing. Boom. And all those millions of people have saved up, where's it going to be? Nothing. Zero. You know, last week I shared with you that unexpectedly our power went out, and we just felt so helpless for a couple of hours, not knowing what it was or how long it would be or anything. Because look what goes down. The television set, computer, all of this, even your cell phone if you have the internet in your house. And it's like, man, refrigerator's out. It's crazy. And then, of course, it came back on. But oftentimes we take these things for granted. Our power could go out very easily. They have missiles that can knock the power out of a nation just like that. And again, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you, we need to wake up and we need to get real what's going on in our world today. Famine and war go hand in hand. And what does that do? It drives up prices. Look what's going on now. Food is going off the charts. Prices are going crazy. So war drives up prices incredibly and forces governments to ration what's available. Ordinarily in those days, a denarius could buy 8 to 12 measures of barley. However, during the tribulation, a day's wages will only buy one meal. And again, let's get real. Could that happen in America? Very easily. That's why I'm so grateful that I'm a believer, and I think you are as well. We pray, give us this day our daily bread, and the Lord is Jehovah Jireh, and he takes care of us, doesn't he? We just happen to be in 1 Kings chapter 17 last week when Elijah had no food, and God used ravens to bring him meat and bread. God will provide. God will take care of us. We don't have to sweat it. But what we do need to do is make sure our vertical is right with God so that the horizontal will take care of itself. The church needs to clean up his act today. There's a lot of things going on in the church today that is not scripturally sound, and God does not approve of it. He's coming for a bride without spot or blemish. We need to get the all-time spot remover out, the blood of Jesus Christ, to remove every spot so that we'd be clean and ready for the return of our King. And here we see nothing for the family here. The food will be gone. But how about the rich? The rich will be enjoying plenty of oil and wine. And Antichrist will be able to control the economy. All of these things are that close, folks. Fourth seal, 7 and 8. Widespread death on the earth. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come and see." And so I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death. And Hades, or hell, followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Whoa. He says, "Come and see the fourth seal." And he looked, pale horse. And on it was Death and Hades, followed by him. And Jesus, as we know, this is why we don't have to sweat the small stuff. We don't have to sweat the pale horse because we won't be here. Because Jesus has the key to death and Hades. Chapter 1, verse 18 tells us. Both one day, both as we see here, death and Hades will be cast into hell, according to chapter 20, verse 14. You see, death claims the body, but hell claims the soul. Everybody gets eternal life. You've heard me share this before. Everyone is going to live eternally, but you get two choices, smoking or non-smoking, hell or heaven. Two choices, and it's your choice. And you can't blame God if you make the wrong choice because he's given you a free will and a free won't. It's up to you. And that's why, again, this morning, we need to wake up, people. And those here that don't know Jesus Christ, you can take care of that situation this morning. As we close, there'll be an opportunity for you to make the greatest choice any human being could ever make, and that's to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And John sees them both going forth here to claim their prey. Here he sees the sword. He sees hunger. He sees pestilence and wild beasts. These conquering tyrants who bring the world war, famine, pestilence. This is nothing new. From the Roman Empire until now, we can easily see how these things are coming over the years. How sad it is that human beings don't learn from history. We've got the greatest history book on the planet here, and how many people are reading it? How many people are learning from the history book, God's history book, what happens when a nation or a people is given over to sin, especially godless leaders? And again, on Wednesday night, we've looked at Israel. Out of 40 kings that they had, only four were godly. And what happened? They ended up in war. They ended up with all these things going on. You know, the people were in bondage. They were, you know, taking God's law and they were perverting it. They were legalizing things that God warns about in his word that are perverted, that are sinful, calling good evil and evil good. And aren't we there today? We're there. And so here we see. And we haven't learned from the Roman Empire. We haven't learned from the church at Corinth. But to the believers, we know that the Lamb of God is in full control. Praise be to Jesus. And like I said, this may seem like a downer, the text here this morning, but the good news is that we need to know what we're delivered from. And that's how much God loves you, and he loves me, and he's going to deliver us from these things. God's in full control. And all of his purposes will be accomplished. Verse 9. The fifth seal, the cry of the martyrs. Notice, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren would be killed as they were was completed. The fifth seal has to do with martyrs. There will be people that will be saved during the tribulation period. But make it easy on yourself. I don't want to be here for the tribulation period. And here we now have those who have turned to Christ during the tribulation period and were martyred for their faith, it says, for the word of God and for their testimony. There's going to be one last harvest during the tribulation period, and many others will be slain for their faith because of Christ's return, or before Christ's return, I'm sorry. They were told to wait till the rest of the number of the martyrs is completed. And that's what we see here. But you know what? The best way to avoid being a martyr is to give your life to Jesus Christ today. Now. Today is a day of salvation. Too many people go mañana. I'll wait. And I've heard it over the years, and I used to say it at times, religion's for old people. Folks, we don't have religion. We have a relationship with the true and the living God who loves you and gave his life for you. If you got religion, you need to get a relationship going. Jesus Christ loves you and gave his life for you. Today is a day of salvation. Jesus now opens the sixth seal. This one's a heavy one. And again, I would not want to be here for this one. 12 to 17, cosmic disturbances. Look at this. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. They must have been living on the San Andreas Fault. You ever think about that? You know where we live, folks? You know what one of my favorite hymns is? He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. You know, it's funny. Well, not funny, because I saw some eyes on a Wednesday night light up as I'm closing the message and getting ready to pray. We had an earthquake here in the sanctuary. I thought, Lord, you're too much. What a close here, you know? He gives us special effects sometimes. Here we are in the San Andreas Fault. We're living on it. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't like earthquakes. But here we see great earthquakes. Someone had mentioned a brother in the Lord who studies a lot of this stuff, that you know that there are 10 active volcanoes on the earth today? 10. And do you know that we have one at Yosemite National Park, or Yellowstone, I'm sorry, National Park, that they say if it goes off, America will be devastated. Yeah. And what comes with volcanoes? Earthquakes. Here we see earthquakes. And the sun becoming black as sackcloth. Guess how that happens? Ashes in the air. Notice. The sun become black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon become like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs, and when it's shaken by a mighty wind. That's going to be stars falling and hitting the earth, meteorites and all this. I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. Someone the other day was out in the snow, and hail came down, and they said, man, it really hurt my head. Well, try a star or a meteorite. Can you imagine? That's going to be heavy duty. And this is real stuff. This is not some fairy tale. This is the word of the Lord. This is exactly what is coming upon this earth. Then the sky receded in a scroll, as a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Can you imagine that? The mountains around us, or if you're in Hawaii, you know, just having it shaken right out of its socket. Incredible, and that's what's coming. Kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? They were trying to commit suicide and they couldn't do it, asking for the rocks to fall on. So it's hard to imagine, isn't it, as we look at the sixth seal, what this will be like. And again, that's why we need to give thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we will never know what this is like. A great earthquake shaking the whole earth. The sun being black, no sunlight. Anybody here ever been to Carlsbad Caverns? You take that tour and they say, if you get stuck down in there in just a number of hours, you will go insane. How many people here will be going insane when all of a sudden the sun is black, no sunlight, and the moon is blood red? Stars falling to the earth like figs on a fig tree. Whew. Skies rolled up like a scroll. The mountains and islands shaken right out of their sockets. And again, I don't need to expound on all this stuff. This is coming. This is going to happen. All classes of society are left here. Notice there's a little bit of everything here. And they're going to be seized by fear and panic. You think the COVID caused panic? I can't even imagine the panic that's going to come with this taking place. Preferring to have the mountains fall on them than to have to face the wrath of God. Now look at this. Doesn't that just blow you away? They said to the mountains, verse 16, and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You don't often think of a lamb as being filled with wrath. They're pretty docile. You know, lambs are, you know, they're just loving little animals. But here now, judgment has come from the Lamb of God who was crucified for the sins of the world. And now the wrath of the Lamb has come. You know what that means? For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? It means it's too late now. There is going to come a time when it will be too late. They had their chance to repent. Their destiny is sealed forever and ever and ever and ever. Purgatory is a lie right out of the pit of hell. There's no such thing as purgatory. Hebrews chapter 1 says that he has purged us from all of our sins. No purgatory, no holdover. Imagine having to rely on somebody to pay and pray your way out of purgatory. You better hope they don't run out of money. Oh, you come up 10 cents short. Too bad. There's no purgatory. What did Jesus say on the cross? Tetelestai. It is finished. You know what that means? No balance due. You're saved. You're sealed for the day of redemption. You're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. You are now a citizen of heaven and a child of God. No purgatory. That's why I say get into the Word, get into the Word, get into the Word. Know what Scripture says. But there will come a time when your destiny will be sealed. They'll be terrified, horrified. I can't even come up with a word to describe what it's going to be like just with the sixth seal. And we got another one coming up in chapter 8. Locusts coming out of the bottomless pit. Can you imagine? But not so for the believer. Not so for those who belong to Jesus Christ. You know what's going to happen with us? We're going to be rewarded, not punished. We're going to be rewarded one day. The key is, here, do you belong to Jesus? Those who belong to Jesus Christ need not fear. A cool thing happened last night. I'm blown away with what oftentimes God does while I'm sleeping. The Bible says in the last days, old men will dream dreams. So last night, this viejo had a dream. That's old man in Spanish. Viejo. And you know what happened? I'm dreaming and I'm thinking about the message in the chapter today. Three words came to mind. Come and see. Yeah. Does that sound familiar? Chapter 6, we've seen it 6 times. But guess what? There's other places in Scripture where we hear those words, come and see. Listen to this, John chapter 1. Again, the next day, John stood with his two disciples, and looking at Jesus, he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed him. And Jesus turned and seeing them followed and said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi or teacher, where are you staying? Oh, listen to this. He said to them, come and see. Wow. And they came and saw where he was staying and reminded and remained with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. One of the two had heard John speak and followed him. And another was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, you're Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, or a stone, rocky. Yo, Adrian. And the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So what does Peter say to him? Come and see. And that's what I'm going to close with. Jesus is bidding you to come. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's bidding you to come and see. And if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior this morning, and God has spoken to you, come and see what he has for you. He will forgive you for all of your sins, past, present, and future. He will take your heart out and give you a brand new heart, a soft heart. He will fill you with a love that you have never, ever experienced for. It's called agape love. And so if you would like to receive God's greatest gift and to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close. Today is the day of salvation. Anyone, as we close. What you guys need to do? You need to go outside these doors and say, come and see. Point them to Jesus Christ. Just as Philip did, just as Andrew did with Peter. And you know what? There's no greater thing than to see Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you are our deliverer. Lord, that you showed us a glimpse of heaven with the door open that John saw. But you also showed us what you have delivered us from, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your love and your mercy that you've delivered us from the wrath of the Lamb to come. And so in the meantime, I pray that you'll give us peace in our hearts and joy, that we would pray for those in the Ukraine. And also, you tell us to pray for our enemies, whoever they might be. And we need to pray for both the Ukrainians and the Russians and the Chinese, everybody on the planet, Lord, because judgment is coming. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would just fill us overflowing with your grace, your love, and your mercy, and that you would bring people across our path that we can minister to and love and point to you as we say, come and see. And it's a wonderful thing when you give us eyes to see the true and the living God, and to see you as our personal Lord and Savior. It's absolutely incredible. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for everybody here. Thank you for the worship. And now we thank you for the time of fellowship upstairs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.